And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, coming to you live from our motorhome somewhere in the United States of America. And Adam McManus, our co-host on this edition of the program, live from San Antonio, or almost dead. Well, hey, it's pretty hot these days, and we don't have any air conditioning in our motorhome, so, you know, we're barely staying alive these days.
Yikes. Well, you're going to talk faster than you normally do, which will mean that no one will understand you.
Okay. All right. Well, today we're going to get into the war of the worldviews in the area of journalism. Certainly, media, journalism, and education are the front lines in the war of the worldviews. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And we bring down strongholds in every imagination that raises itself up against the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. And those imaginations, ideas flow hard and strong through the mouthpieces of media and education. Somehow the liberals have captured control of most of these mouthpieces, most of these idea generators in our society today. But Christians are called to the front lines of the war of the worldviews in the area of journalism, media, and education. And that's the areas in which we have chosen to do battle as a Generations ministry. So glad that Adam McManus is willing to join forces with us. Adam, you have been a blessing to this ministry for the last, 7 years as the host of theworldview.com. And we are in a massive battle. We can't just let ABC, NBC, CBS, even Fox News monopolize this area of conflict. We've got to get involved in the war of the worldviews, and that includes journalism.
Well, I actually can date my time working with Generations on the worldview to my son's life. You had been talking with me about this brainstorm that the Lord had given you about the importance of taking back the news for Jesus Christ and giving people the real scoop and
yep.
pairing scriptures with a couple of the seven stories. My wife was in her latter stages of her third trimester at that moment. And literally, I think we birthed the worldview at the same time my wife birthed Valor Tyndale McManus, who is 7 years old today. I've only missed before my COVID experience a year ago when I had to take a week off. I'd only missed one night, and that's when we had to take my son to the emergency room right after he was delivered, fearing that he had some terrible situation developing. But thank God he was okay.
Well, we're thankful for your faithfulness engaging this as a part of our ministry. And what's becoming an increasingly critical part of our ministry is we reach out to thousands, if not tens of thousands, of homeschooling families and Christian families that tune in and want to get a balanced view, a biblically balanced view, a biblically biased view of the news. And friends, we're not ashamed of saying we are biased. Everybody's biased. It's just, are you biased by the right bias? And we believe this is the right bias. Why? Because, well, the scriptures, the word of God, the inspired truth that comes from God Almighty will be the filter by which we see the world, including, well, current events. Okay, so Gallup Polls has released its annual public confidence numbers, and I think the media confidence numbers are pretty much the lowest, with maybe the exception of the presidency. You know, people lost confidence in the president and Congress. But wow, only 11% of Americans have confidence in TV news now, down 5% from last year, meaning it was 16% last year, now 11% this year. The number was 46% in the early 1990s. So what is that? That's about an 80 to 90% drop off since the early 1990s. People are not trusting in TV news.
Newspapers are also dropping in terms of American confidence, not to mention that the subscription levels have dropped dramatically. A lot of newspapers have closed altogether or gone online instead. I mean, look at Newsweek. Newsweek used to be a major publication, Newsweekly, and now it's all online. So the times are changing, but I think the reason why so many people have lost confidence in the news is because the news is so dramatically biased. Now, of course, the Democrats tend to like television news and newspaper news more than the Republicans because it's more in line with their leftist worldview. But even among Democrats, TV news and newspapers are not held in high esteem.
That's right. They're falling off as well. But as you mentioned, I think one of the reasons why Americans are losing confidence in television news, newspaper news, is because they know it is partisan. It is biased by political party. They're well aware of that. It's basically, you know, newspapers are published out of the back of the Democrat National Committee offices. Just kidding, but not kidding. Either way, you know, that little publishing thing on the back of the Democrat National Committee office, that's the New York Times back there. But partisanship is obvious. Democrats have something like 40% confidence in newspapers still, whereas Republicans are down around 5%. Okay, so the 95% of people picking up a newspaper, if you happen to be Republican, you're pretty much not believing what you're reading. But if you're a Democrat, much more likely, 8 times more likely to believe what you're reading in the newspapers if you are a Democrat. But that's because it's partisan.
Well, I have found personally that I have gone from a daily subscription to a weekly subscription. We only get the Sunday San Antonio Express News, and I pretty much ignore the first 2 sections that include the news and the op-ed columns. What I'm interested in are the features, what's going on around town, faith. They might have an interesting faith article that or column that might even be hostile to the Word of God, but I'm interested in what the left is saying about those things, taste, entertainment, those kinds of things. I'm interested in that, and maybe the local section about what the city council is up to. But by and large, I pretty much dismiss all their international and national news because I find other sources that I go to, you know, from our own to CNSnews.com or Daily Wire, or now Family Research Council has a great Washington Stand news daily that I rely on and use occasionally for the worldview.
Well, there's no question about the bias, the partisan bias of the news. In fact, there's been a recent survey done by Arizona State University and Texas A&M University that perhaps may be the most accurate in terms of the partisanship of modern journalists. They questioned 462 financial journalists around the country, Adam, followed up with 18 additional interviews. The journalists work for the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, Associated Press. And when you add up the numbers, 58.47% of the journalists admitted to being left of center, and then 37.12% claimed to be moderate. And as far as the conservatives were concerned, about 3.94% said they were somewhat conservative. 0.46% said they were very conservative. That's a whopping 4.4% of the total that lean right of center. 4.4% versus 58.47% leaning left of center. That's a ratio of 13 liberals for every one conservative. That ratio is 13 times more liberal than the average American, given that the liberal conservative ratio in the country is about 50-50, which I would say be generous for the liberals. You know, America is probably closer to, 70% conservative and 30% liberal, but the ratio for journalists, according to this study done by the Arizona State, was 13-1. I mean, that's biased. That's way out of whack of the rest of America.
But listen to this. Think about this. They were questioning the 462 financial journalists. Financial journalists, just in terms of a category, are much more inclined to be conservative, looking at things from a more objective perspective. So if even the financial journalists are this skewed to the left, 13 liberals to one conservative, imagine what those numbers would look like if you question kind of regular, everyday news reporters of those same institutions. I think you would see maybe a 40-1 ratio by contrast.
That's possible. That's possible. That's possible. The liberals, the God haters, the people who want to pervert sexuality, redistribute wealth, kill babies, far more strategic in capturing control of the media and the schools. The conservatives have stayed away from reforming the schools and the media, with the exception of some of the folks that you mentioned and folks like us, who continue to stay hard in the battle for a distinctively biblical worldview-based education curriculum for our children and, of course, conservative, biblically-based approach to media and news. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Folks, our families, our future families are crying out for shepherding. Shepherds, fathers, husbands, godly leaders. Our churches are crying out for shepherds, elders, pastors, deacons. But where will we find men who rule their households well and shepherd well in the household of God? Men, is there anything more important you will do in your life than to be the shepherd that God has called you to be? Does God have a call in your life to be a father, a shepherd in the home? Does God have a call on your life to be pastors, to invest in the precious body of Christ, the church, that has been so despised by the world and so neglected by God's people? Would you invest in something this important? Would you surround yourself with good teaching, prayer, counsel, other shepherds to shepherd you, to be the shepherd God wants you to be? We have sought out the best shepherds and pastors for our Shepherds Training Conference, which takes place each year out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Now, this is not a seminary. Seminary professors can make for good seminary professors, but godly faithful pastors and fathers will prepare more godly faithful shepherds and pastors in the home and church. If you feel God's call in your life to spiritual leadership, if you sense this is the time to invest in preparation, encouragement, strengthening, guidance for spiritual leadership in your home or church life, register now for our Shepherds Conference, taking place October 24th to 28th this year. It's 5 days of immersive teaching, fellowship, meals together, prayer, small groups, and a life-transforming, family-transforming, church-transforming event. Early registration is only $349 for room, board, and the whole week's program. Register now at generations.org and click on events. Register at generations.org. That's events. And we are back on the Generations broadcast, my friends. The ratio 13 times to one more liberal for American journalists than the average American, given that the liberal conservative ratio in the country is about 50-50. But hey, it could be 40 to one if you're looking at the major media. And for the average American, I would say about 70% conservative versus 30% liberal. But somehow we are losing when it comes to media, and when we're coming to the educational system, in which it seems that each successive generation have been educated through the colleges and through the K-12 schools to be even more liberal, even more anti-God, anti-biblical, anti-biblical ethics than was the previous generation. So we continue to lose, and then we lose, and then we lose some more. Why? Because the liberals control the educational cartel as well as the media cartel. And here's a couple of things. One, news is always biased. There's no getting around it, my friends. The news stories that you choose will be determined by your worldview. It'll be siphoned through your worldview as to what you consider to be important. Let me give you an example. Adam, I want you to comment on this one. Let's say you're choosing two different headlines, two different stories to cover on theworldview.com. A spotted owl was hit on an Oregon freeway. Or 147 babies were torn apart in a Portland abortion clinic on Monday. All right, so you think your worldview is going to tie into whether you choose the one over the other to headline the news?
Yes, and coming from a biblical perspective that places a greater emphasis on human life because we are the ones created in God's image compared to the spotted owl who was killed, I'm going to go with the second one. And I would dare say that that actually is not a floating headline out there, but perhaps through pro-life activists who are picketing or helping encourage women to choose life along the front of that Portland, Oregon abortion mill, they know that 147 babies were torn apart on a given Monday, and they might report that to me. We often use the suggestions of listeners to send them to Adam at theworldview.com and spent quite a bit of time ferreting out the truth and reporting on it. And so, yes, my bias is I'm pro-life, and I'm pro-life because God is pro-life. And while we, you know, are sad that the spotted owl was killed, that's not as important as 147 babies being ripped apart in the Portland abortion mill.
Yeah, but I'll bet the Portland Tribune's not going to pick up that story. They're not going for the 147 babies torn apart. They're more concerned about the spotted owl that somehow got hit on an Oregon freeway. Okay, so there's an obvious example for how a worldview is going to determine which story is more important than the next. And we're covering, you know, we're looking at 300-400 headlines, 300 to 400 stories on any given day, and choosing the best 7 or 8 based on a biblical ethical construct, based on what God would consider to be more important than something else. We know that some sins are more egregious in the sight of God than others, and we take that from God's law, and these are the sorts of things that will determine for us what is more significant, what's more important for coverage in the news. Jesus tells the Pharisees they're incapable of distinguishing between gnats and camels, and yet I believe that as we apply the Word of God to each of these circumstances, whether it be, you know, making adjudication on matters that pertain to the church or matters that pertain to the civil magistrate or matters that pertain to journalism, we must apply God's word to make that distinction. Which of these will be gnats and which of these will be camels? If we can't make the distinction, then we'll be like Pharisees who strain at gnats to swallow camels. And that's what the Portland Herald does, or the Portland Tribune does, when the Portland Tribune refuses to cover the story where 147 babies were cruelly torn apart in abortion mills in downtown Portland on any given Monday. All right, well, the second point I want to make as to why the only 11% of Americans have confidence in TV news, down from 16% last year. By the way, the number is 46% in the early 1990s. So just in the last, 20, 25 years, we've seen a massive decrease, about an 80% decrease in Americans' confidence in TV news. And the reason for that is, one, there is a massive bias. And I would argue an even more significant and strident bias towards the liberal view over a period of the last, say, 25 to 30 years. Secondly, though, we live in an age in which people have become increasingly skeptical as to the possibility of knowing anything for certain. And that's because of what we call the postmodern relativistic worldview. I don't think there's any question in anybody's mind today that we live in a postmodern relativistic age in which the whole idea of truth has been jettisoned. Now, you jettison the idea of truth, and you jettison the importance of news or any confidence in news that you're going to believe that the news is going to convey something of truth to you. It's an age of skepticism, cynicism. We've walked over the line of despair. You catch this, I think, even more so with the younger generation. Younger generation, they're skeptical, they're cynical. You have a conversation with somebody coming out of the mall lately?
Yeah, in fact, I was on a walk in the park and stumbled across a group of 3 teenagers who looked like they were all freshmen or sophomores in high school. And it was during the month of June, during so-called Homosexual Pride Month. And I noticed that the oldest teenage girl was wearing a bracelet that was multicolored, supposedly reminding us of the homosexual pride colors as opposed to the colors of the rainbow, reminding us that God will never flood the world again. But the homosexual activists have somehow grabbed the symbol that was supposed to mean one thing, but now they've turned it into something else. And in the midst of those colors on her, in her beads of each bracelet, one said gay and the other one said bi. I asked her, I said, oh, I see you have some colorful bracelets. And I'd already read what they said. I said, what's that all about? Oh, it's Pride Month and I'm just doing my part as an ally. You know, this is the kind of mentality of that age and the age within which we live, isn't it? I mean, it's not saying that she herself is homosexual or bisexual, but in order for her to be accepted as cool and popular and in touch with the times in which we live, you have to be, quote, an ally to the sexual perversion that has become front and center that everyone needs to bow down to.
Well, it's obviously connected to the idea that ethics are relative, or ethics are relative to the individual choices that one makes. And it's the individual choices one makes in the immediate moment that determines the rightness or the wrongness of any given action, which is an existentialistic idea, but also rooted in an ethical relativism, that there is no truth, there's no absolute ethic. Now, when you jettison the possibility of absolute ethics, or the possibility of certainty and truth, by abandoning God's word as the standard for truth, you've given up on the possibility of any and all truth. And that, my friends, is an epistemological reason why only 11% of Americans trust the TV news. The third thing that I'd throw out is that people lie, and I think more people are lying today than ever before. I don't trust the Russian media. I don't trust the Ukrainian media. I don't even trust Alex Jones at times. I don't trust CBS, NBC, Fox. And that's, I think, the way most people think today. But the overall integrity of the nation is in free fall. It's also harder to trust scientists because they're so biased. And more, they resist testing and verification and reproducing studies. We covered this in a recent Washington Examiner article. I think it was Bill Jack that was with me. But the Washington Examiner article pointed out that there's been very little effort to reproduce scientific studies. And when they have been attempted, they were unable to reproduce the initial results that came out of the first study. So the Washington Examiner article, I think, is one of the reasons why people are less and less inclined to trust scientists. There's been just little reproducibility of scientific studies in the present day. It's even harder to trust medical science, especially after COVID. I mean, who trusts any of these numbers coming from the government?
No. They're trying to control the masses.
So much at stake in terms of the control of the masses. The government, the media, and the medical community have increased incentives to lie. You follow me? I mean, in the sense that they feel like they have to have control over all these things. And if the data is questionable, or if there's anything that might in any way compromise their conclusions from, say, you know, an additional study, they certainly want to hide that, conceal it from the general public. So there's just a lot at stake. They want to control the masses with their vaccination programs or whatever it is. And so there is such increased incentive to lie for government officials, for the media, and for the medical community. It seems to me that the truth is less and less accessible today.
I think that's well put. And it's why ultimately people have found great joy in discovering the worldview. I mean, not to pat ourselves too hard on the back, but more specifically, you saw a niche that needed to be filled, that there is a need for a place that people, Christians in particular, who have an appreciation for God's word as the standard for absolute truth, can go to, in a short bit of time, get the gist of the news that matters, and from a biblical worldview, and then with accompanying scriptures that amplifies God's absolute truth in reflection on some of the key stories. And I think we are really seeing a tremendous response among the Christians in America who are beginning slowly but surely. We have no aggressive advertising program, but hearing about the worldview, hearing about generations by word of mouth.
That's extraordinary. I think we had a 26 to 28% increase on audience participation over just the last year. Redeemer Broadcasting has picked us up, as you know, and we haven't tried. I mean, it's not like we're out there, you know, pushing this thing. We just show up every day and, you know, try to follow through on what we believe God has called us to do. And for such a time as this, and it seems to me that we have built the field and they have come. And I'm encouraged by that. Trying to explain right now why only 11% of Americans have confidence in TV news, and about the same for newspapers. And that's down 5% from last year, down from 16% last year, friends. Here's one more point. There are 100,000 voices shouting at us through the internet. They shout different messages. Now, when that happens, when the internet turns into a communication babble, a disunity, a cacophony of voices, a decentralization, and a massive variety develops out of the decentralization created by God via the Tower of Babel's deconstruction project. When 100,000 voices are shouting at you, the truth or the stories that are really important or significant or give you a balanced perspective of reality just sort of fade away. And people give up on the possibility of sifting through it all and finding the truth. And that's another reason why I think we need to come back to the standard for truth. And I do believe that if we apply a biblical world and life view, a biblical ethical view to the news, that the significant issues will come to the surface. We'll begin to develop a better balance of news stories and a better perspective of the world around us. In other words, as we use the Word of God, special revelation as the eyeglasses to review and to take in the natural revelation that comes through the senses, as we review what's going on in the world around us, I believe we will come to a balanced view of reality and a balanced presentation of reality on any given day. Now, I realize that's a little bit of a epistemological, philosophical, theological presentation of what we're doing. But just, I think it's the first chapter of John Calvin's Institutes. He talks about the relationship of natural and special revelation. And I think that's all we're doing. We're just simply applying the Word of God as our eyeglasses to interpret natural revelation, bringing special revelation together with natural revelation to present what we hope to be the best balanced and the best bias for a news report on any given day. So that's it. That's my apologetic, I guess, for theworldview.com. But quickly, I want to lay out how to tell the truth when it comes to media. And I want to give this as quickly as I can before we are done with this segment of the program. Number one, priorities must be set by God's word. God's law determines the egregiousness of any given sin or crime. Number two, identify multiple independent sources if you can. The scriptures say let the truth be established by two or three witnesses. Okay, number three, identify the news sources that have the most to lose if they are lying. And biblical law, I think, does tie into this. Deuteronomy 19, 16 through 19. If a malicious witness arises to accuse a person of wrongdoing, that is, a false witness appears, whether that be in news or whether that be in the civil magistrate in a judicial case, before the priests and the judges who are in the office in those days, the judges shall inquire diligently. And if the witness is a false witness and has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brother. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. In other words, in a biblical way of looking at false witness, there must be some sanction. There must be some serious sanction that might occur for a person who would be a false witness, say, in a murder trial. So if somebody would render false witness in a murder trial in which the person on trial would be subject to the death penalty, the person who committed perjury in that particular trial himself would be then subject to the same penalty, the death penalty. So I apply that principle to identifying good news sources. Identify the news sources that have the most to lose if they are lying. Number four, never trust an anonymous witness. Number five, acknowledge the fundamental cause in human events. That is God's providence. When man trusts in man, man has the most to lose. But when men trust in God, they have less to lose. Why? We're trusting in God. Number six, try to understand motive. Some people have an agenda. Be aware of the agenda. Some are out to slander, out to impugn motives, out of pure maliciousness and envy. For example, some people who have suffered abuse. Now, I just say some people have suffered abuse. Not all people, but some people have suffered abuse. Will take the side of the abused, no matter what. They assume the one accusing another of abuse is always in the right because they are bitter and they're angry about their own abuse. So just be aware that there is sometimes an agenda, sometimes a motive that is operating as we consider certain witnesses. Okay, well, those are some of the guidelines that Scripture gives to us. And as far as our priorities in the newscast, Adam, you know what they are. We cover the persecution of Christians. We cover church events, revivals, blessings obtained by lives saved, economic blessings, freedoms gained somewhere in the world. That's important to us. We talk about catastrophes, the Tower of Siloam falls. We talk about that worldly kings coming down, Pharaoh's collapse, you know, would have been in something we'd like to cover.
And I would interject that in the midst of our covering of catastrophes and the collapses of the world's kingdoms, we will often point people to something positive that they themselves can do. We will often, for example, give out a link to Samaritan's Purse if you want to help the people that have been the victim of a natural disaster here in America, or the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, to help the Ukrainians with food, clothing, medical care, Bibles, and even in the context of the persecution of the church, which is always our number one story on theworldview.com, we will often link to a given ministry to the persecuted that helps to rescue the orphans and the widows, to help provide the Bibles, to help rebuild the church that was detonated by a Muslim suicide bomber. So we don't want to leave people, especially Christians who have the hope of Christ, with no hope. I mean, majority of our news stories, unfortunately, are depressing and negative. But we see that, A, the context in the greater span of history of what God is doing as one source of hope and comfort. But secondly, within those stories, and we also often include, I'll include an address, an email, a phone number, somewhere where people could send a card of sympathy to someone who's died, or a get well card. For example, when Ron DeSantis's, the Florida governor's wife, was diagnosed with breast cancer, or the daughter of Ann Graham Lotz, for example, who was very sick, we gave out her address a couple of times in Raleigh, North Carolina, encouraging our listeners to send a get well card, or to Judge Clarence Thomas, who is sick and in the hospital. When people become engaged with what's going on in the world around them and get their kids, more importantly, involved and writing a note if they are of that age, or drawing a picture, all of a sudden it connects them to the world around them and through a Christian perspective. And I think that's healthy and important.
We want to present a distinctively biblical approach in terms of the priorities laid out for the newscast. We want to be sure that people know that these things have occurred by God's providence, that God is in control, that even if it appears immediately as a negative thing, as an evil thing, God can still turn these things to good, and he does. For the sake of his church and for the sake of his own glory, he brings about the good out of the bad. And so we want to present the news not as a presentation of the acts of men primarily, or as random events that are occurring in a purely chance universe. We present the world events as something over which God has absolute control, and we present it in the light of a biblical worldview, a biblical ethical view. And we present solutions as well as problems, all part of the communication of truth, the interpretation of what is going on in the natural realm by way of special revelation. That, my friends, is theworldview.com, hosted by my co-host today, Adam McManus, who's been with me for the last 30 minutes. Folks, thanks for tuning in with us today, and be sure you get theworldview.com on a daily basis, just 5 minutes, to update you with what's going on in the world. And do we have a responsibility to know what's going on in the world? Yes, to some extent, because these are the works of God. All of the works of this world are the works of God. And Psalm 78 instructs us that we give our children the works of God. We tell them about his mighty works in history. And I think that includes everything that's occurred over the last 6,000 years, including that which has occurred over the last 24 hours. And that's why The Worldview in 5 minutes. Available at theworldview.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.